Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Looks like the New York Yankees might live to play another day. They have a big lead here in Game 5 of their American League Championship Series against Texas. I want to welcome in Rich Hurl, News Director, 1320 WILS. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Jack. Good to talk to you this evening.
Well, good to talk with you. When do you sleep?
Well, normally I do in the afternoon. I kind of have a split in the afternoon and then again at night, although I missed out on this afternoon's sleep, so I'll have to find a way to make that up.
All right. Tell us what you saw this afternoon with this press conference and General Motors with the announcement of a $37 million investment in the Lansing Delta assembly plant.
Yeah, a lot of optimism in regards to this announcement. Basically what this money is going to be going toward is for tooling and equipment. GM trying to stay up to date with the current technology. And you look at the vehicles that are manufactured at this plant, the Buick Enclave, the Chevy Traverse, and the GMC Acadia, and the sales have gone very well, especially over the last month. 36% increase in sales in September, and the Buick Enclave, you're talking about almost doubling their retail sales from a year ago, 89% to be exact. And, really, GM recognizes this, and for them to invest this much money in the Delta Township plant really, to me, says a lot about the long-term relationship between the giant automaker and the Delta Township plant.
Sometimes it's difficult to actually interpret this data in terms of jobs. And you can have technology investment, which means fewer jobs, believe it or not. But in this case, what does $37 million do for the workforce in Greater Lansing?
Well, there's not much of a change right now in the workforce at the moment. The announcement as far as jobs go is that there are no new jobs that are being created through this investment. Mm-hmm. However, I did speak with Scott Weibrew, who is the regional operations plant manager here in Lansing, and he says that what this investment will do, if they stay up to date with this current technology like they're trying to do, it could open the door for new jobs if a new product became available for the plant. When that would happen, who knows? But as far as the workforce, there's not much of a change there. It's more directed to the equipment and the tooling inside the plant.
All right. In terms of some other General Motors news in the area today, we heard that the federal government is going to be supplying enough money to hopefully get some of these environmentally toxic former auto plant sites cleaned up. That could be very good news and maybe help spur development of some eyesore sites here in Lansing. I know that Virge Bernero had organized the mayors to campaign for this just after Barack Obama took office and had lobbied for this for many months. What does this mean for Lansing?
That's a good question, Jack. And in fact, U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow made that announcement today. This is a $773 million trust fund that the Obama administration is setting out, about $14 or $15 million, about $18.5 million coming to these four Lansing area sites. And I think what it helps out for the residents is pretty much the environment with this cleanup. I think that's what the big difference is going to be there. And these plants that they're talking about, you're looking at the Lansing Craft Center, the Lansing Metal Center in Lansing Township. You got the Lansing Car Assembly that straddles the city and Lansing Township as well, and you've got a site on South Canal Road that used to contain an engine plant. So I think really just the environmental concerns that some of the residents may have, I think that's really what the big difference is there among those who live nearby those sites.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some other development, Rich. specifically Marketplace and the Armory. We know that there's been a lot of consternation, Pat Gillespie up in arms over the roadblocks, what he feels are of an obstructionist city council. We know the unions have not been happy with the inability to forge a PLA before construction would begin. You were at city council. You were there for the first vote. And then, of course, we had a reconsideration, or what some people hope would be a reconsideration, that went nowhere. Where are we with this right now?
Well, that's a good question, and you kind of have two sides of this. You've got Pat Gillespie, the developer. He told WILS's Tony Conley yesterday morning that he thought the project was dead and that the council would not be revisiting this.
Virg Bernero says it's not dead.
Yeah, he did. That's exactly right. Bernero this morning said that he was confident that something could be worked out here. He said he's not giving up. And that's the other side of the issue. So you still have uncertainties here in the aftermath on whether this project is still alive, whether or not it's going to happen. I'm not sure that this story is completely finished. Yeah, I think a lot of it is going to depend on the developer and the unions. If they can, well, first off, there's got to be some communication, I think, between the two parties, and that, I think, is really where the focus is. Pat Gillespie says he has not been getting any callbacks. He's not received any communication from the unions, from the council members, even though they have said on air, especially some of the union officials, saying, hey, we'd like to work something out. But apparently behind the scenes, doesn't sound like there's a whole lot that's happening right now.
All right. We know that the union officials want jobs. That's very clear. And we know that Pat Gillespie wants this development. Who would be the person, other than Rich Hurl, to moderate this and get these groups seated at the table and tell them to just check their egos at the door and let bring the passion level down a little bit, and let's try to find a win-win? Or is no compromise possible here?
Well, I think if that would be up to anyone, I'd have to say Mayor Bernero. And he even said this morning, this pride that everyone has, you know, we got to leave that at the door and just come together. You're listening to the mayor speak on this issue. You know, I don't hear him blaming any of the parties at all. I think he's trying to calm everyone down and say, hey, we got to come together. We got to find some middle ground here somewhere. And it's gonna involve everybody. You know, there's a lot of pride among the parties, as the mayor said. And, you know, it's going to take, you know, kind of an ego check, if you will. You know, they got to leave their egos at the door, leave their pride at the door, as the mayor said. And it starts out with communication first. I mean, that's where it begins, and then you go from there. Right now, that communication is not there, and I obviously, I don't see a starting point unless you have that, and you just got to get together. Got to get together, and you really have to think about what's best for Lansing and what's best for the project, and everyone's going to have to make sacrifices, and that's another point that Mayor Bernero said. And right now, I don't think every party is doing that right now, and yeah. I think that's what's going to take. It's going to take sacrificing.
Rich, I think time is of the essence here. And Virg Bernero has something else occupying him for the next 3 weeks. I'm afraid if this festers for 3 weeks, then it's going to be impossible. It's going to be too bitter. So I think it has to be something that happens within the next week, maybe 10 days at the most. And I'm trying to think, maybe former Mayor David Hollister has done a lot of work with Prima Civitas. He's been able to bring people together. He might be someone who could do this. But you know, the mayor, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, he's been very effective in getting a lot of things done. He has also been a polarizing figure in some ways, and we know what his relationship has been with council. And one way or another, one of these council votes is going to have to switch. So
yeah, that's a very good point. And for most of the council members who have voted no, normally they stand solid in their no votes. I mean, you've got Carol Wood and Brian Jeffries on that side. You know, you've got some leadership there, and you've got a lot of experience. They know what goes on in the city and really how economic development works, especially with Brian Jeffries, the director of the Development and Planning Committee. I don't really see them changing their votes. Now, Derek Quinney, the council member, he has said that the union and the developer need to come together and work something out. If that happens, I think he would switch over.
Yeah, but
that still has a long way to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think whatever the vote would be that would break the deadlock, it would have to come from the unions saying, hey, we're satisfied. Let's go ahead with this. But they have to find a win-win situation here, because otherwise they're going to let a great opportunity go by the wayside. Rich, we're going to let you try to get a little bit of rest here. What time are you in the morning?
I get in usually about 4:30-ish.
About 4:30. That's just about when I go to bed, so I'll call you and be sure you're up, all right? I'll be your wake-up call tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Rich Earle, News Director, 1320 WILS.